Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, and I also am a pastor's wife, and I want to welcome you to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about out loud. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is my friend, Kathy Litton. Kathy lives in Mobile, Alabama with her husband, Ed Litton, who is the pastor of Redemption Church. Both had their lives take unexpected journeys as they lost their former spouses in car accidents. Kathy knows the sting of death, a journey of losses all against a backdrop of a loving Savior who proved to be faithful, good, and ever-present. Kathy has 3 grown children and 8 grandchildren, and she is the director of Planter Spouse Development here at the North American Mission Board. I asked Kathy to join me today to talk about disappointment with God. How do we respond when life doesn't go how we expect it and when church planting doesn't go how we expect it? So here, friends, is my conversation with Kathy Litton. Welcome, Kathy, to the Ministry Wives Podcast.
I'm really excited to be with you, Christine. This is a real treat.
Well, I'm excited too. I think of you as one of my mentors and somebody that I emulate in ministry. So it's such a privilege for me to get to learn from you. And of course, everyone can listen to and learn from you too. But this is for me, Kathy.
You know what? That's fine with me, Christine. Let's make it about you today.
Let's make it about me. No, we're going to make it about church planting wives. You work for NAM, so you get to go all over the place talking to pastors' wives, church planting wives.
Yeah, it has just been an honor for me to really serve and to support planning couples, particularly planning spouses at NAM. And I mean, Christine, there are some amazing women that are just bravely, faithfully following the call to plant a church. And as you know very well, you've done this, it comes with high risk and a lot of uncertainty. And so I just love to do what I can to encourage them in that act of obedience in their life.
Absolutely. Well, just thinking about when I went into church planting, I went in with this idea of what it was going to be like, and it didn't end up being like that. And I think that happens to pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. Even I talked to someone recently who they planted and it exploded and they didn't expect that.
Wow.
And so expectations are a really big thing. And so I think when we have those unmet expectations, it can lead to a lot of discouragement and disappointment. And so I'd love for you to speak for the wives that you get to talk to all around the country, North America. Can you describe what women are experiencing in this area of unmet expectations?
Well, I think we can honestly say that when there's a gap between expectation and outcome, there can be some disappointment. That doesn't matter what, you know, context we're putting that in. And so I think for us to have the open conversation with that reality related to ministry at any kind, but especially the church planning wife, I think is really, really important. You know, it wasn't really too long ago that I began to see this topic as important for planting wives. And reading in scripture, I just drew this out looking at John the Baptist's life. And let's be honest, if you look at John the Baptist's dramatic calling to be the forerunner of Jesus, but really, you know, his ministry didn't really turn out like he thought it was going to.
That's right.
And he winds up in jail. And even when he is in prison, in the book of Luke, he sends one of his disciples to Jesus' disciples and said, "Are you the one that is to come, or should we look for another?" And so I see even this vulnerability with John the Baptist is something that we really can relate to. And Jesus, you remember that passage, he's really moved by John the Baptist asking that question. Now, I don't want to put too much reading into what he was going through, but he was having second thoughts about his life there while he was in that prison. And Jesus tells his followers, go back and tell John what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. And so he is reassuring him and even goes on another place that he was the greatest man that ever lived. And I think it's good for all of us as spiritual leaders to kind of remember that story, because I think John the Baptist had some unmet expectations with how his ministry would be and obviously how his life would go, because he is killed, you know, because of this. And so I think it's okay for us to have a disheartened feeling when our ministry isn't what we'd hoped or expected it to be. And yet we can't let disappointments lead us too deeply into deep discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the struggle in ministry right there, is mm-hmm. taking a disappointment, a reality that's really not coming together like you anticipated, and not turn it into deep discouragement.
Mm-hmm. And let it cause you to quit, whether it's you physically quit or you disengage internally. I think there's two kinds of quitting that can happen. But can you give voice to some of the unmet expectations that church planting wives are experiencing?
Well, I think, you know, the hardship of, you know, this of finding a facility and a site, and they may not be exactly in the venue they would like to be. They may have the setting that they had hoped and dreamed about. And so that's one of those early things, but secondarily, just response to their ministry in a community that they had hoped for a stronger response, or maybe their own team that they took with them that did not turn out to be as helpful as they thought. There would be a lot of things that could go sideways that. So they're just things that are going to happen to them that they don't see coming, that would really be a place for them to be discouraged mm-hmm. and be disappointed.
I can relate to all of those. And I would add to that, watching my husband mm-hmm. struggle was hard mm-hmm. and a little bit of an unmet expectation, I would say, because he'd always been so strong and sure. And mm-hmm. to see him wavering, that was hard. But also discouragement or of unmet expectations around myself, thinking, I thought that I would be stronger than this. I thought I would be better at this. I thought that, you know, all kinds of things around myself, too, were a little bit of unmet expectations that I had. So you yourself have gone through a deep, deep season of, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was deep suffering. Mm-hmm. But would you describe it as also disappointment with God? And can you tell us about that and what you learned through that?
Yes. Part of my story is becoming widowed when I was 45 years old. It was 20 years ago this summer that my husband, Rick, who was a pastor, was killed in a car accident. And so people would ask me after, friends, people that were intimate, were like, are you angry with God? And I found these words kind of coming out of my mouth, like, no, but I'm very disappointed in God. And I lived in Denver at the time, and Philip Yancey is a Denverite. He's an author, and he had written a book called Disappointment with God in the late 80s. And so his book, in some ways, and reading that and his perspective gave me some permission to feel that disappointment, that God did not give me what I'd hope for in life, or what I hope for my children, is to have a dad that would be with them their whole life long. And so I think we all have some context, Christine, where we have been disappointed with what God gave us. And, you know, Philip Yancey worked through his disappointment. I worked through mine because of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. But I noticed just recently, picking up his book again some months ago, this older book, he had a brother in his story. And his brother did not land in the same place he did. And he dedicates the book to his brother. And he said, to my brother, who's still disappointed with God. So my takeaway in that is, we can come out of that disappointment. We will face some disappointing circumstances, but to remain disappointed in God is the thing that would lead us to really harm, and it would just kind of hold us back in our faith and confidence in God.
You said an important word. You said permission, mm-hmm. that his book gave you permission to feel that. And I think sometimes we think as Christians that that is not permitted, that being disappointed with God is wrong. But I would say that it's actually an invitation to meet God for who he really is.
That's right.
So can you speak to that, giving us permission to feel what we feel when we have these unmet expectations?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we need to be genuine. We can go to God with honesty. He knows where we are anyway. And to bring that to the light is very, very important. But even in my disappointment, Christine, I knew that God didn't disappoint me in everything. I knew that he had given me a wonderful man to be married to and a precious life together for 25 years. And so the balance of disappointment with God is to still be able to see his blessings in the middle of that. And I know it sounds like a contrast in terms, but I had to walk by faith in this dark moment and trust God, take my disappointment to him, but also remember his kindness and his goodness and his graciousness that was undeserved. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that's a healthy struggle right there.
Mm-hmm. It can feel, though, like you're a seesaw. One day you're struggling with deep sorrow and discouragement. And then the next day it's like, okay, I see God, you're working, you're good. That can be difficult. Another thing that I think comes to mind when I think about my own unmet expectations is that there can be fear that comes in, that God didn't act the way I thought that he would. And that makes me a little bit afraid of him. What if he asked me to walk through something even harder? Mm-hmm. Did you experience that?
Yes, the answer is yes. There was a mistrust of God and a fear for what might be next, you know, an understanding that all the things that God introduces in our life, it's not always what we would wish. And so I think there's a little bit of balancing here. You know what? I'm going to use a verse that I use in some teaching on this, Psalm 41:10. Listen to what this says, which is exactly what we're talking about. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And so you and I know, Christine, that the word of God can help right our thinking and our emotions. And we aren't the first people that ever walked down this pathway. And in Isaiah, he's addressing someone's fear and someone's dismay even. And so we can feel both those things and still be in right relationship with God, but we have to lean into his strength to navigate our soul and not be led, dangerously led, by some emotions and some responses to disappointing things, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for me, it's been bitterness, cynicism, yeah. Anger, unforgiveness, not toward God, but toward circumstances that he allowed. And I do very much know. It's almost like I could tangibly feel I've come to a crossroads and I have a choice right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to obey God's commands to forgive and to believe he's good, or I'm going to feed the bitterness.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I remember thinking as a widow that was feeling very vulnerable and weak, I remember praying, Lord, do not let me do something that dishonors you right now. Because in those moments, we're vulnerable to making some bad choices along the way. And that's we are weak and vulnerable when we're feeling discouraged and disappointment. And yet God is with us. He doesn't forsake us when our emotions don't line up, but he'll give us the truth and the support to experience those emotions and get them out before him and come through that process.
Mm-hmm. I would encourage anyone listening to journal through mm-hmm. things. I just was reading through my old journals and realizing in some of my unmet expectations and God acting differently than I thought, I was writing out my honest feelings, but then I could look back and see my prayers that I prayed that he would sustain me, that he would break the bitterness in me. He has done that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's so slow and subtle that we don't realize that he's worked. And so for me to look back and go, oh my goodness, he has been good. He has brought good from that.
That's right.
And I couldn't see it if I hadn't written it down. So let's apply this to ministry wives and church planting wives. How do you, as you're meeting with these women and they're telling you their disappointment, their discouragement, how are you seeking to encourage them in that?
Well, I think for me personally, I've experienced this, and I say this, if I hadn't remained in the Word of God, my emotions would have dominated my thinking in a way that would have taken me further away from His truth, further away from health. Now, did I want to read God's Word every day? But being in Scripture and understanding this big picture, which God works in our lives, and that He will give us that strength, and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, I was not afraid to tell people, I feel really weak right now. And we don't have to pretend that we're not struggling. And that's the first thing I would tell anybody, is the vulnerability, the honesty of being able to find the right places to be free with where we really are is very, very important. And I think for spiritual leaders, we have this first thought that we have to cover all this up.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, everybody doesn't need to know everything about our story. But on the other hand, it's okay to be vulnerable enough to talk about the weakness of your flesh and just say, I'm struggling. And it's hard for planning wives to find that space. Sometimes the people around them immediately in their congregations aren't strong enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's where that mentor and that outside source that can support them in that. And that's why they need to be in community,
mm-hmm.
a solid community where it's safe for them.
Mm-hmm. Can you just, that's a great time to stop and go, hey, NAM is doing great work with church planting wives, creating these kinds of communities. Mm-hmm. Can you just let us know about that for anyone listening?
Well, you know, one thing that I say to planting wives all the time, they don't need us, like my team, the spouse development team. They need each other. And particularly in their cities, they need each other because they understand context there. They understand the lay of the land. There's obviously, our wives have very little spare time. It's not like they can line up all these coffees and go sit and talk for 2 or 3 hours. But the idea of picking up the phone and talking to someone that may be on the other side of Los Angeles, it's not even close to us, that vulnerability of drawing strength from someone else that not only just understands church planning, but understands the context and the particular demands on those contexts. And having a listening ear is really important, but you have to have the vulnerability to be willing to expose your own weakness to do that.
Yeah.
And I, as a spiritual leader, we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And people can get, I get it that people can get a little bit toxic with this, but there is health in being honest about the state of your soul to someone, to the right person.
Absolutely. I remember for me in the beginning stages of church planting, I just thought, well, everyone else seems to have it together, and I'm the only crazy one over here who is, you know, waffling under the weight of this. And that's not true. I'm just saying that for anyone listening who thinks that, it's not true. I have been in ministry for 22 years, and I'm still figuring things out and learning things. And I'm sure you would say the same.
Absolutely.
So it's so important to talk to other people.
And I think your generation and below are more healthy in this, and I see more health than my generation was about the vulnerability thing. And, you know, I love the definition of vulnerability. It's a risk we take for a greater good. In other words, yes, it might be a little risky to expose, but the greater good is it will put me into a relationship that might strengthen me. It will reveal what's really, really going on in my soul, where I can get some help and support. And so, yes, vulnerability is a little bit of a risk. But when we're afraid to be vulnerable, we may miss out on a healing or a connection or a strengthening just with silence.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Are there other things that you say to wives who come to you with their discouragement?
Well, I mean, sometimes they're afraid to talk to their husband about it. And you and I understand that. We don't want to be another squeaky wheel in their lives. And yet, that is not true. Your husband needs to know where you are, and he needs to be aware of your struggle, and you're not being a brave little soldier by keeping that from him. He wants to shepherd. He wants, yes, he's overwhelmed. I see that, but keeping your real spiritual or emotional state from him is really not a good idea at all. It's not healthy.
Can you give some ideas of how we could approach our husband in a healthy way? Because I know I haven't always kept things from my husband, but I have also spewed on my husband and yes, added more to... Spewing is not the answer. So can you?
No, spewing is not the answer. It needs to be with prayer and consideration. And when you can find your sane voice and some sane thoughts, then you need to talk to your husband. Not at Mach 10. Okay, bring it down. And then when you've gathered yourself. Now, I agree that you could scare everybody if you did that, but on the other hand, they need to know. Mm-hmm. They really do need to know. And it's going to make you closer as a couple. And, you know, I don't want my spouse hiding his reality from me, you know, with the best intentions. With the best intentions, we're one flesh and we need to interact in that way.
That's how we are partners in ministry.
That's
too.
Right.
I will say I did this totally wrong in church planting, and I did exactly what you said not to do because I saw the weight my husband was carrying, and I did want to be a good soldier, and I did want to be a blessing to him. And so I diminished myself in a very unhealthy way and I didn't talk to him about what I was feeling and thinking, but I kept going and going, and eventually it did come out, but it came out in anger. It came out in resentment. And so I had been unfair to him because I had not told him some of the things I was experiencing. So then it all comes out in a very unhealthy way. And so I say the same thing to church planting wives all the time. Do not hide these things or diminish yourself. Yes, do it in a right and good way. But it's going to come out in the end if you don't. And it's going to be unhealthy for your marriage. So.
Yeah. And you know what, too, it can create unintended consequences of women becoming bitter. And, you know, we're more likely to really have more bitterness if we're stuffing things down and not dragging them to the light in our marriage or with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that you say to church planting wives?
Well, you know what? We have this ebook on the NAM site. It's 5 Marks of a Healthy Planting Spouse. And the first one really kind of has to do with what we're talking about right here. The first mark of a healthy planting spouse is that she would be gracefully resilient. And we're using grace in particular to understand that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that a resilience that comes that we can withstand challenging conditions, not in our own strength. I don't think I've met a planning wife that I wouldn't say is a strong woman. But you and I know our own strength alone will not get this done. And it is only through the power of the Spirit that will let us withstand challenging conditions. And I would say to any planning wife, you want to be strong, you want to do the right thing, but you and I cannot do that without the power of the Spirit giving us strength spiritually and emotionally and even physically to do this thing. We won't do this in the strength of our own flesh. And so walking in the Spirit is very important to stay healthy.
Mm. So true. Well, I'm wondering if people are listening who are maybe preparing to plant, or they're... You know, they're just getting started and they're thinking, oh gosh, I probably do have expectations of how this is going to go. How can we prepare ourselves? How can women prepare themselves for this with very realistic ideas of what's ahead?
Well, some women have more exposure to what this context is going to be before they get there. You know, they've been around church planting culture at some level. They understand that. And that's really, really helful. But I would just say it's going to take, I mean, they're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight and trust God and to understand that there's a lot of spiritual warfare in the things that we're talking about. And I think the expectation that we will have spiritual opposition, we may have opposition from, I think she just has a reasonably sane understanding that church planting is very difficult and circumstances won't always be easy. But it's kind of like going into marriage, really, Christine, even though we think marriage is all romantic and all that's going to be super fun until we get married, we say, oh, wait, this is a lot of work. You know, the same is to a church plant. We have to go into it knowing there's a tremendous spiritual blessing to do this. But meanwhile, there's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be some unexpected things come our way. And honestly, the women that I'm around, I don't see much naivety about this. They understand going into that. And it's just after that, Christine, it would be a matter, just like in anything else in your marriage, that we would be relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to walk this thing out every day. And yet we know you guys have this happen. You're moving along, things are coming together, and some big disappointing circumstance comes along that you didn't see coming. And that's going to happen to everybody in ministry at some level. And then we have to rely on the faithfulness of God in our life. And just even when I became widowed, God did not change. God did not change. This was ordained in our family and ordained in my life. And I knew that if he put it there, he would provide. And it just takes a lot of faith in those moments to trust him when the circumstances are not coming together like we had hoped.
Yeah. I look back at church planting and even now, you know, in ministry, I just see that it has been the primary way that God has grown my faith muscles. And but those, you know, just like physical muscles, you have to strain and you have to work hard to build them. But these circumstances, as they come, God can use that to grow our faith and to make us vibrant, healthy, strong leaders and women if we let it happen.
That's right. And you know, just because circumstances are not good doesn't mean that God is not good.
That's right.
And there were a time in my life that the goodness of God was hard for me to say because it didn't feel like the circumstances were good. But even in ministry at any level, God is always good, even if circumstances are not good.
Mm-hmm. One last question. I'm just thinking about as we support and help our husbands, when they are disillusioned, discouraged, my husband always says, I think I just want to go be a mailman. You know, they don't have to worry about much. I mean, I'm sure they do have to worry about something, but, you know, just be by myself, nobody bothering me. And that's when I know he's discouraged. So how do you seek to encourage your husband when he faces these things?
Well, I wish I had understood this more when I was younger as a young pastor's wife, but more than anything, they need to be listened to and not talked to in this moment and just let them pour that out. This is a phrase I learned in grieving, as someone talked about when people lose their spouses, that sometimes we can do things that don't honor their pain by saying stuff like, at least you know your husband's in heaven. And that's not honoring their pain. And I would say as wives, we need to learn language that honors our husband's pain. Instead of trying to explain or dismiss, don't do that. We don't want to do that with anybody that's kind of in a grieving moment. And honor his pain and find the right words that suggest, I see what you're saying. I recognize how you feel. And let him be where he is. Because I don't know about you, I don't want someone to shame me when I'm being vulnerable. And I think as wives, we don't need to give simple answers to really complex issues in this time. And your love and your affirmation and your arms wrapped around his neck are going to mean way more than any kind of teaching that you want to do in that moment.
That's
and true. I only say all this because I learned this all the hard way, Christine. So that's all I'm saying.
That's really good. Well, I so appreciate you, Kathy. I appreciate your heart for ministry wives out there, what you're doing through NAM and outside of NAM, too. I mean, you are just on the go seeking to bless women like me. So thank you.
Well, it is my joy. It really is my joy. And I just consider it an honor. And I'm telling you what, the reverse mentoring that goes on with somebody in my age and your generation and the generation below you is very inspiring at this age. And Ed and I talk about this a lot. You can learn a lot from the younger generations when you're later in your ministry life. That's been very beneficial to us both.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.